Colossians chapter number 3, we're continuing our study on Sunday evenings from the book of Colossians, and we are learning about a particular theme about Jesus Christ. Help me out. What is Colossians all about? The blank of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't hurt me now. What is Colossians all about? The blank of Jesus Christ. The preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is number one. He is preeminent in all things. That's the theme of the book of Colossians. Written at a time in history and to a group of people who were doubting the preeminence of Christ. Who were viewing Jesus as just a created being. Kind of like the Mormons and some of the Jehovah's Witnesses, some of the cults do. Jesus was just a created being. He's less than God, and that idea that kind of lowered Jesus Christ in his importance was becoming popular. And God sent through the Apostle Paul this letter to address for all time the issue of who Jesus Christ is. That he is number one, he is preeminent, he's most important, he is the preeminent eternal God who became man. And so in Colossians chapter 1 and in chapter 2, we studied through and saw how this doctrine, this teaching of the preeminence of Christ was unfolded for us so that we understand that Jesus Christ is everything. In chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18 ends by saying that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In chapter 2, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Colossians is all about. Because Jesus Christ is preeminent, we have some advice given to us in the book of Colossians. The advice is found in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The advice is basically, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, and then walk in Him. So order your lives that Jesus Christ is the circumference of everything that relates to you in life. He is the sphere in which you live. He is the person that impacts every area of your life. Now, receive Him as your Lord, and then walk in Him. As such a walk will cause you to be rooted in Him, will cause you to be built up in Him, will cause you to be established, secure, strong, and it will cause you to abound in thanksgiving, to just be an excited person about the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the advice given to us on the basis of Jesus Christ's preeminence. Now, having laid that foundation, God's Word in chapters 3 and 4 then begins to apply that to different areas of life. And we're looking at the application of the preeminence of Christ to different areas of our lives. If Jesus Christ is preeminent, if we have received Him as our Lord and Savior and are so ordering our lives such that we're living our lives in the sphere of Jesus Christ, we're walking in Him, then that's going to manifest itself in a number of places in our lives. And the first place it will manifest itself is in our personal purity. And so we've been studying how the preeminence of Jesus Christ impacts the personal purity of our lives. And this is a longer part. It's the longest of the parts of application. And so we've looked at it for a number of messages now. And in chapter 3, we are encouraged to live pure lives from the depths of our being, from the innermost recesses of our heart, that there flows out of us a love of holiness, a love of purity. Now, it is expressed to us here in chapter 3 with some analogies, some pictures. There's two basic areas of purity that's dealt with in our personal purity. That there are the things that we've got to get rid of. It's kind of negative. Don't do this. And there are things that we're supposed to do. Very positive. Do this. Personal purity is a matter of stop doing the things that are impure and start doing the things that are pure. That's basically what purity or holiness is. Don't do the wrong things. Do the right things. And so in this passage of Scripture, we have a very detailed set of instructions that says to us, if Jesus Christ really is number one in your life, people are going to see it in your personal purity. How will they see it in your personal purity? They'll see it, first of all, in what you don't do. And they'll see it, second, by what you do. And so there's not doing the negative and doing the positive. Now, we've already looked at the negative. He used two analogies to tell us what not to do. He said, you've got to get radical and you've got to kill some things in your life. And he said that in chapter 3 and verse number 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he listed some things having to do with impurity, immorality. He said, you've got to get radical with sin. If Jesus really is number one, we're going to see it in your personal purity. First place we'll see it in your personal purity is how radical you are in killing sin in your life. You're going to put it to death. You're going to murder it. Get radical. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If you can't keep from stealing other people's stuff, cut your hand off. If you can't stop looking at pornography, get an ice pick and gouge your eyeball out. I mean, Jesus taught, get radical regarding morality. Get rid of. And so this passage of Scripture, in following the kind of things that Jesus taught, we're told to get radical regarding sin and mortify, put to death, murder sin that is in your life. And then he used a second analogy. And the second analogy is going to carry over into the couple of verses we're going to look at tonight. The second analogy is an analogy of clothing. And he says in verse number 8, but now ye also, notice this, put off all these. Put off all these. And the phrase, it's a word that's used of taking off garments. Take off your coat. Take off your sweater. Take off your jacket. It's an analogy of taking off. So he uses an analogy. And he says there are some things in the life of a person that shouldn't be there if Jesus is number one. If Jesus is number one in your life, you won't be wearing that sweater. If Jesus is number one in your life, you wouldn't wear that jacket. It's an analogy. So he says, take off anger and take off wrath and take off malice and take off blasphemy and take off filthy communication. He says, take these things off, because if Jesus is number one in your life, it's going to be obvious in your personal purity. Now, we come down to the positive. And the positive keys off from that analogy of clothing. And so in verse number 12, he says, put on, therefore. And verse number 14, and above all these things, put on. So I want you to notice the clothing that we're supposed to wear as Christians. You see, if Jesus is number one in my life, there's some things that I'm going to put on that is going to manifest the importance of Jesus Christ in my life. And if Jesus is really important to me, I'm going to wear these garments. I'm going to put on these pieces of clothing, so to speak. And so we have this instruction now. There's stuff that you had to get rid of. You had to murder it, you know, mortify it, and put it off as clothing. There's some stuff you got to get rid of. But purity is not just a matter of what you don't do. Purity is a matter of what you do. Purity is a matter of putting the right things on in our lives. It's a matter of doing the right things in our lives. And so he now transitions from the negative to the positive and says, these are some things that you need to be doing as Christians if Jesus is number one in your life. Now, he said to do these things, to put these things on in an atmosphere that has always caught my attention. We looked at it in the last message. Let me just remind you. Verse number 12, put on therefore, what's the next word? As. It's the preposition of characterization. Put on therefore as. As you would expect someone who is elect of God, holy and beloved. So in other words, he says, get a mental picture of the kind of person that you would think, now that's the kind of person that Jesus Christ is number one in their lives. And get in your mind the characterization of the kind of person you think God would elect, God would love, and God would they would become holy in God's standards. So get in your mind the kind of a person that God would elect, that God would love, that would become holy, and then dress like that person dresses. Put on the kind of garments that person puts on. So in other words, this idea of the kind of stuff that we're to acquire in our lives is supposed to be accomplished in the atmosphere of mental expectation. What you think a person ought to live like, who God would elect, who God would love, who God would deem them to be holy. And then what you think that person would be like, that mental characterization, become that. Put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And then notice there's another atmosphere to this purity. He says in verse number 13, he said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. In other words, these positive characteristics are put on in the atmosphere of very real conflict, not in the absence of conflict. People that rub you the wrong way, people that you have to put up with, people that do you wrong, people that argue with you, people who you have to seek their forgiveness for what they've done against you, people you have to put up with, you have to forbear them, you have to put up with them. In the atmosphere of very real conflict with people, get a mental idea of what you think someone who's elect of God, holy and beloved, would do in those conflicts and become that person. And then he described them. He described them in two ways. First of all, he said, get dressed. And then secondly, he said, put on your coat. Get dressed and put on your coat. Verse number 12, he says, in verse number 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Five articles of clothing we are to put on. By the way, this is in the grammatical tense that says you've got to do this. This isn't something that you just sit back and say, well, I'm going to let God do this in my life. No, this is not something you let God do in your life. This is something you get up off the seat and do this. This is in the aorist imperative middle voice. It means you do this. You do it right now. You do it for yourself. And so he puts the onus on our backs. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I must do. Put on, therefore. And what clothing are we to put on? Well, he lists these five articles of clothing. By the way, I put the little verse in there. Due to time, we won't turn over there. But Romans 13, 14, you read that. And that verse says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the character traits of Jesus Christ, modeled by Jesus Christ, that I'm to put on in my life. Five simple articles of wardrobe. First of all is compassion. Or as it appears, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. That was really the subject of this morning's message. A compassionate life. A compassionate life. Put on the garment of compassion. When people rub you the wrong way, people do you wrong, people are unkind to you, put on the bowels of mercies. Put on a compassionate heart and love people. The second article of clothing is kindness. Verse number 12 says, put on therefore kindness. Are you a kind person? Kind to people. In the way you relate to them, the way you react to them. When you're both trying to get in the same parking place that is right at the front, close to the store. Are you kind to that other driver? In the presence of very real conflict in life, when they cut you off on the beltway, are you kind to that person? In the face of dealing with people that rub you the wrong way and they get under your crawl and you really don't like them, are you kind to them? Jesus says, if I'm number one in your life, people will see it in your personal purity. And that means not only what you don't do, it also means what you do. And one of the things that you do is you put on the character of Christ in real conflict. You put on the kindness in your dealing with people. So you love people. You're kind to people. Verse number 12 gives us a third article of clothing. Humility. Humbleness of mind. Put on, therefore, humbleness of mind. That was considered to be a very negative thing in the Greek and Roman world. It was weakness. Humility was a great character weakness and flaw in a person in the Greco-Roman world. It was Jesus Christ who took what was considered by the Greco-Romans as a flaw in your character, and Jesus said, that's not a flaw of character, that is something to aspire to. Humbleness comes from the word humus, earth, dirt. To think of yourselves as lowly, or as we're taught in the book of Philippians, it's to put other people ahead of yourself, and to consider other people as better than yourself. The only time self-esteem is found in the Bible, Philippians chapter 2, esteem others better than yourself. Our modern psychologists talk about building self-esteem. God says, esteem the other person better than yourself. God takes a totally flip-flop view from our modern secular world of psychology of self-esteem and self-love and build self-esteem in your life. No, God says, esteem yourself lower than the other person. Esteem that their idea might be better than your idea. Their opinion might be better than your opinion. What is important for them may be more important than what's important for you. To think of yourself not as being the one who's always got to get what you want, but to put on humbleness of mind, thinking, how you view yourself, how you think about yourself, how you think about situations, not always looking out after yourself, not always trying to get what you want, not always trying to, but try to help the other person out. Maybe let them have something instead of fighting for what you want. And that's the character of Christ. He came, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I'm the creator of the universe. I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to serve you. And he got down on his knees with a pail of water and a cloth, and he washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, now learn how to serve other people in humility. Jesus said, if you want to be top dog, then shine shoes. Jesus said, the way up is down. Jesus said, if you want to exalt yourself, be abased. If you exalt yourself, you will be abased. If you abase yourself, God will exalt you. Jesus said, if someone invites you into their home, you come into the home. Don't look around and pick out the best chair. Figure in your mind that there's somebody that's going to be there that's more important than you. So you take the low chair, you let somebody else get the best chair. Because just figure in your mind that you're not the most important person in the room. And then let them come to you and say, hey, we'd love for you to take the seat of honor and let them move you up. You know, all through the Gospels, all through the teaching of Jesus Christ, we get this idea that we are to live our lives as not big shots trying to get our way and fight for ourselves, but rather we're to think of ourselves as lowly. And we're to treat other people as more important than us. We're to exalt them. That's putting on the garment of humility in our lives. Now, it's not the Charlie Brown, I'm good for nothing, I can't accomplish anything, I'm nobody. The book of Romans, one of those phenomenal passages dealing with humility, is found in Romans chapter 13. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's the perfect balance. He says, don't think too highly of yourself, but think soberly, think rightly, think appropriately, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You have value to God. You're not a Charlie Brown, I'm worthless, I can't do anything, I'm no good. No, that's that false pride, that false humility is disdainful to God. You've got value. God gave you spiritual gifts. God wants to do something with your life to bring glory to His name. But it's not because you're a great person. So don't think more highly than you ought to think. But recognize God has given to you a measure of faith and think soberly about what God has done in your life and use your life to bring glory to God. And so there's a balance between this thing of humility and accomplishing things for God. So put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility. The fourth garment we're to put on is meekness. The word meekness is one of the most amazing words. It means, you know the best word picture? Have you ever seen a picture of a big old ox? I mean, the thing is so bulky. I mean, it's got muscles bulging out of every part of its body. This great big old ox that can pull that plow and it can just throw that dirt, flip over those furrows. That ox is strong. And it's put in a yoke. And it submits to the yoke. And in that yoke, submitted to that yoke, it can accomplish amazing things. That's the picture of meekness. Meekness is superior strength submitted to and yielded to that which will enable me to accomplish what I need to do. Meekness is yieldedness. It's submission. It's not weakness. Some people get the idea that meekness is weakness. Some people get the idea that if you see Jesus there with his pretty long flowing hair and his nice gown and his hands folded just right and he looks so feminine, he's so meek. Now, you want to see a picture of Jesus in his meekness? Watch him when he takes the whip and drives the money changers out. He was a man enough to drive those money changers out of the temple. You want to see Jesus in his meekness? See him in the carpenter's shop with a hammer and a chisel and the muscles bulging out of his arms as he chisels those stones as a stonemason, as he makes that furniture, as he does the work of what carpentry was in that era. See Jesus in his strength yielded to what his dad told him to do that day at work. That's meekness. Meekness is yieldedness, bringing your power under the control of authority, doing what you're told to do. Jesus said, put on the garment of meekness. Become a yielded, submissive person, submissive to the power of God. It's the opposite of insubordination, the kind of person that is always insubordinate. No, meekness. And then the last garment is put on endurance. Endurance. Verse number 12 says, we're to put on long suffering or to suffer a long time. To suffer under something a long time without quitting and giving up. We get the idea of endurance from that concept. The idea that you can put pressure on me today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and the pressure that's on me doesn't break me. I am able to suffer a long time under that weight and not quit and give up. I can endure that. This is part of the character of Christ that we put on. Now, is Jesus number one in my life? Is Jesus preeminent? People will know if Jesus is preeminent in my life by looking to see whether I have become pure, holy in my personal life. And that will be revealed by what I don't do and by what I do. And on the positive, it will be revealed by me putting into my life, putting on the garment, so to speak, getting dressed with compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and endurance. And then he said in verse number 14, and above all these things, it's kind of like he says, put on your top coat. Now, you ladies, this would make probably good sense to you in the sense that you may go shopping and you're picking out an outfit. And you get the right dress or the right blouse and skirt combination, and then you look for the shoes. You got to get the shoes to match the outfit, and you get the right shoes and the right purse, and you're trying to put this outfit together, and you get all the right pieces, but there's just something not quite right yet. And all of a sudden, you find the perfect scarf or the perfect necklace, and it seems like it pulls the whole outfit together. That's what is being said here when the Bible says, And upon all these things, put on. For a guy, it would be put on your top coat over top all the other stuff you put on. Put your top coat on. It's what goes on top of and holds everything together. But for the ladies, it would be finding that right, perfect accessory that ties the whole outfit together. And what that is that ties the whole outfit together is love in action. Charity, which is love in action. It's doing for others because they have value and importance to you in your heart. Having love for them that would cause you to do things, do acts of charity for them. Put on, upon all these, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. It's the binding, the bond, the binding unit. It's the binding element that brings everything to completion and makes the whole thing just perfect. So after you put on all of these garments and you got all these miscellaneous pieces put on, it's not quite right yet until you put on that unifying item that ties it all together and binds it together and makes it complete. And Jesus Christ says, the thing that makes your character complete, the kindness, the love, the meekness, the endurance, and all those isolated pieces. But the thing that puts it all together is when you care enough about people that you do acts of charity for them. Jesus said it this way, your enemy hates you, go out and buy him a gift. Someone speak evil of you, speak nicely of them. Do things for people. Acts of charity for people, even though they don't deserve it. That binds all of the character of Christ together in your life. And you, if I live that kind of life, if I love people, if I'm kind to people, if I view myself in the idea of humility, if I am yielded to what God wants me to do in meekness, if pressure doesn't get the best of me and I'm able to endure and suffer through all kinds of adversity, and then if I can tie all that together with just an old-fashioned, I care about people, and I want to do things for people. I just want to do things for people. That is what identifies me as someone who's pure, who to whom Jesus Christ is preeminent in my life. It's about Jesus Christ. And I can see that in the purity of my life. His preeminence must result in my purity. Which means, if I have things in my life that I should have put to death, Jesus is not number one in my life. If I am wearing garments, anger, malice, evil speaking, if I'm wearing garments that I should have discarded, Jesus is not number one in my life. If I have not put on compassion and kindness and meekness and endurance and put it all together with the bond of charity, Jesus Christ is not number one in my life. He's not preeminent to me. He's way down the list somewhere. And he's not first place in my life. Which takes us back to what Jesus Christ taught often in the Gospels. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Jesus Christ said, love me with all of your heart, all of your strength, and all of your soul. Jesus Christ challenged people, make me first in your life. I am God. I am number one. I am preeminent. It's all about me. And if that's true, others can see that in the purity of my life. God help us to be pure people. People that others will see Christ in us because they see the purity of who we are as people in our hearts.